We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Welcome to the third week of our Future Family series. I hope everyone had a good 4th of July weekend. Did you have a good 4th of July yesterday? Yeah. Is it good? I'm glad that everybody's here. We're thankful for freedom, and I'm thankful that you came out on a holiday weekend. You know how churches are sometimes in America. They're like just no one shows up. I'm glad that you are here. My name is Chris Fluitt, and I'm one of the most blessed people you will ever meet. That's who I am. I am absolutely blessed. I'm blessed to be the pastor of this mighty church full of mighty, brave, courageous, smart people full of love. I'm blessed to be your pastor. I'm blessed to be loved by my family, my wonderful family. I'm blessed to be a child of God. I'm blessed to be called out of darkness into his marvelous light. I hope that you feel just half as blessed as how I feel today. I am a blessed person, and I hope to be a blessing to you today. Who wants a blessing today? God has a blessing for you today, all right? We're going to get right to our sermon. Just a moment, I want to tell you about after this Future Family series. We've got this week and next week, and then we've got a brand new sermon series coming called Search Engine. And it's one of the biggest series of the year. It's one of the biggest series of the year. Please, I want to get your attention. It's huge, it's big, and we need your help. Everyone has questions, right? Everyone. If you don't think you have questions, then that raises some questions in my opinion. But most people go to Google. They go to Bing, or they go to Yahoo, or some other search engine, find answers. Here's why. Because we think it's safe and anonymous. That's why we go there. But we think the local church ought to be a safe place for you to bring questions. All right? We want our church to be that. So in the Search Engine series, we're going to be taking your questions and answering them live. How does that sound? For 4 weeks in the Search Engine series, I need you to do some things right here. Get out your phone and text us your questions. You can text our anonymous line. That number is 214-856-0550. I need you to do this. I want you to do this. I would hate for you to go without your question answered, all right? Here's what else I need you to do. I need you to invite your friends. Yeah, you got friends and they hang out with you, but they have not come to church yet. I need you to invite them. I need to tell them about this series. Maybe they have questions too. We have invitation cards. We have content on our Facebook. We have content on our website. You can share it digitally or just pull out an old-fashioned business card. Invite whatever it is, but let them know about the number. Let them know about the date. Get them here, okay? That's what I need you to do for me. Will you do those things for me? Yeah. All right. Let's pack this place out for the kickoff of that Search Engine series on July 19th. Everyone said July 19th. Today, we're going to be talking about future children. And I have some selling I need to do for a moment. I got some salesmanship I got to do. I know right off the top of my head. I felt a lot of pressure when I was writing this sermon, praying about it. Here's why I need to sell some of you. Because some of you might want to just check out on this sermon for these three reasons. Number one, we've already had our kids. So why do we need to hear about our future kids? That's all in the past, right? Or maybe this, I'm a kid myself. I don't need to hear about raising kids. I'm a kid myself. I won't have kids for a long time. Or maybe this one. I never plan to have kids. Okay, so listen up. You that have already had kids, I'm going to talk to you real quick. Do you care about your kids right now? The kids that you've already had? Even if they're like 40 or 50, they're still your kids and they still have a future, right? So today is for you, all right? And are you a kid yourself? I'm going to be talking about parent-children relationships today. I'm going to say things that you need to hear, but get this also, kids. I'm going to say some things that your parents need to hear. That's right. I'm going to talk to your parents about how they interact with you. And kids, the Bible has commands for your parents and how they should treat you. And I'm going to preach to your parents today. So maybe you should listen up to that. That might be fun. God may put it in your heart to have kids one day. We have some people, I never plan to have kids. First thing I would say is that a big word, ha, you never plan to have kids. Are you practicing abstinence? Because that is the only surefire way to plan to not have kids. And I just have to also tell you, it didn't work for Mary, the mother of Jesus. All right. God may put it in your hearts to adopt one day. Oh, yeah, that's a very real thing. And even if you never have, like, biological kids, God could put it in your heart to do that. Also, we should expand the idea of children to be those that come after us. Those that God has called us to imprint upon. To bless them and direct them. This would include those that are not biologically linked to you. So while I'm preaching today, I'm talking about that. And you may decide to invest in the lives of nephews and nieces, kids in your neighborhood, or other that are younger than you in this local church. So listen up. God has something for everyone in this place. So do not check out on me. Do I got you? Are you with me?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Oh, man, it was tough. Now on with it. God wants lineage for your life.
All right.
Right there with the word of lineage, you got the word line. He wants a family line. He doesn't want your life to be a dead end. He wants a line of life to be flowing out of you, whether it's a family tree, whether it's you're sharing your life with others, whether you the way you lived your life affected others, and now that life is now flowing out of them. You shared Jesus with someone, and now that brand new life is flowing. God has a lineage for your life. He wants a line of life to be flowing out of you. So don't check out on me today. Your Bible focuses on this word lineage. Many places it writes down the genealogy. That's the family tree. It writes it down several times. In Genesis chapter 5, it gives us the genealogy of Adam to Noah. In Genesis chapter 11, it gives us Shem, Noah's son, to Abram, who later became Abraham. And in 1st and 2nd Chronicles, it marks the genealogy of all the tribes of Israel. That's that book of the Bible where it said, "And so-and-so begat another hard-to-pronounce name, and that hard-to-pronounce name begat a really crazy name." Over and over. And if you ever wondered what all that's about, why is that book in the Bible? It's because God wants lineage. Genealogy is important to God. A line of life flowing through people is important to God. And then we go to the New Testament. The New Testament has its own genealogies. Matthew gives the genealogy of Jesus from the line of his mother Mary. And Luke gives the genealogy of Jesus from the line of Joseph. Jesus is earthly father, not heavenly father, but earthly father. Joseph was not biologically Jesus's dad, but his lineage mattered. Goes on, we could talk about Hebrews 11 gives a lineage of faith. And in Revelation, it talks about the life book, the book of the Lamb, the Lamb's book of life. And is your name written down in that book the Bible talks about? You need your genealogy. You need your life written down by Jesus, all right? You need that line of life coming out of you. God cares about lineage. He cares about genealogy. He cares that names are written down. You're like, who cares about that name? No, there's a person attached to that name, and God loved them. And they're remembered forever. You're going to be remembered forever. He wants everyone to have a future. And so he wrote down that person's name. They are not forgotten. No one who has ever lived. You walk in a cemetery sometimes, and you'll find an old cemetery, and you'll find old stones. They're like rocks. They aren't tombstones with writing on them. They're rocks. And you know what those are? Those are unknown graves. Someone marked a grave there. Nobody knows who's in there. And that could be really sad. Man, somebody lived their entire life and nobody knows about them anymore. No one knows the kind of life they lived. No one knew what was their favorite color. No one knew if they had kids. No one knew how they lived, how they died. Let me tell you, they aren't unknown to God. God knows them. He knows their name. And not only that, he provided a way for them to have a future.
Amen.
That's the kind of God we have. And you aren't unknown to him. You aren't forgotten to him. He wants a future for you. Amen?
Amen.
Although these people in these old genealogies of the Bible live thousands of years ago. The names, the lives, the stories of these people live on. Let me tell you, that means they still have a future. The story of Abraham still has a future. It impacts our life today. The story of Moses has a future. It impacts our life today. The story of Apostle Paul still has life today. It has a future. It's touching future lives. Well, don't you want to live a life that even the story of you lives on and touches other people's lives? That's what God wants for you. He wants that line of life called a lineage coming out of you. Psalm 127 verse 3 through 5. This was our memory verse last month. Maybe you remember it. Children are a heritage from the Lord. Offspring, a reward from Him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are those born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in court. All right? I want to talk to you real quick. That children are a heritage and a reward. The ones coming after you, the line of life that's flowing from you, it's a heritage and it's a reward. It's something that you ought to be focused on. We focus on some really meaningless, cheap, stupid things. This right here, the Bible says, take note, this is a reward. Take note, this is a heritage. If someone called you up and said, hey, somebody gave you a will and they gave you $1 million, you'd be like, oh man, I'm so thankful for that heritage. Wow, I got $1 million. The Bible is telling you this is bigger. This is your heritage right here, and this is your reward. We need to take a moment and talk about this right here. In our reward, in the world that we're living in right now, children are not always treated like a reward. Oh, we're going to get down right into it. We're going to talk about it. Many children in our own nation are unwanted. Unwanted. They might live in the house, but they aren't wanted. They aren't treated with love and respect. They aren't invested in. They aren't a treasure. In fact, people get mad at them. People abuse them. When children are left in the car to die from heat and they aren't found for several days, that means that child wasn't loved. That child wasn't treated like the reward that God made him to be. Somebody say amen. Amen. It's true. It's true. It's true. They are cast off and unwanted pregnancies that end up in an abortion clinic. That's not being treated like a reward. I know that this government gives women the right to choose, and I'm not here to preach on the politics of that. That's not what I care about today. I am here to tell you that there is something deeply wrong when we abort a baby because it inconveniences us. Because it stands in the way of us going to the nightclub. Or it stands in the way of us being able to have more money in the bank. There's something wrong. You are looking at the wrong reward. You got your eyes on the wrong heritage. Children are a heritage. They are a reward. That's what the Bible says. Do you believe it? Come on, if the Church of Jesus doesn't believe it. Come on now. I'm here to tell you that they are a reward, not a punishment. Children are a reward, not a punishment. It says they are a blessing. They are not a curse. And some people feel like their life is over when they see a positive result of a pregnancy test. That I can imagine that. I can totally imagine that, especially a young girl or something you just totally didn't plan. Let me tell you, even at the age of 35, you can have unplanned pregnancies. Amen. All right. But look at that positive result, that pregnancy test. I think, well, my life's over. But God says they're a heritage. Your life's not over. You just received something that will live past you. You just received a line of life that is a reward. That's lineage. Do not be nervous. I am not telling you to go out and get pregnant and have lots of children. That's not what I'm telling you, all right? I'm not telling you that today. That's not the point of this. Not my point. I am saying that children are not valued enough in our society. We don't have it together when it comes to what's really important, what's a gift from God. We don't have a clue about it. We are arguing about the stupidest things all over the place, and we're missing the lives right in front of us. We're upset because we made a really smart little post on Facebook and no one liked it, while our kids are over here saying, "Mommy, Daddy, please play with me." Are you serious? You're missing out on the reward. Oh, come on. You should have future children. Okay? Again, I'm not telling you go out, get pregnant, have kids. That's not what I'm telling. But I'm telling you, you should have future children. People that are coming after you, that you are called to imprint character on them. What if you just took the character, the things that God has shown you, and you imprinted those things on them and you showed those things to them? How about truth? The truth that you know about the world, the truth that you know about God. You took that and you imprinted that on someone younger than you. That's a future kid thing right there. How about your advice? You took your advice and you gave it to them. Would that be big? Oh yeah, it would. There are countless people that look back on that uncle. Wasn't a biological parent, it was an uncle. But that uncle loved them, and that uncle spoke to them. Pastor Fuller, some of you know who Pastor Fuller is. He talks about his grandfather. And when you hear him talk about his grandfather, I wish you were here right now to talk about him. He says, "That man was the only man that loved me growing up. He showed me what love was. Everyone else in my family, they were a piece of work. But my grandfather, he would drive all over the nation to come see me." That grandfather was investing his line, and he saw a reward right there, and he saw somebody that was worth investing in. In the case with our series, what we're talking about in this future family series, I got to tell you, your future children are in danger. We saw that video intro there. Marty, your kids are in trouble. Your kids, look at this piece of paper. Look at this newspaper. In the future, your kids are going to jail. Not only is one of your kids going to jail, but the other one's going to try to break them out. She's going to go to jail too. Everything comes from this one moment in time, and everything just spirals out of control right here. You've got that coming for your kids. It may be different. I'm not telling you that they travel to the future and ride hoverboards or anything. Not saying that, but I'm saying that your kids are going to face trouble. You face trouble, and no matter how you do, mom and dad, no matter how you try to insulate them from the world, they're going to face trouble too. It's going to happen. Your children, your future children, are in danger. So, I'm pretty sure that our future lineage will face bigger dangers than we did. When you look at the world today, don't you kind of look and say, gosh, how are kids going to even make it today? Do you think that? Have you ever said that out loud? My gosh, we never had to deal with that growing up. How are they going to do? Kids doing that kind of stuff? Kids knowing what they know at that age? Are you kidding me? What kind of drugs are out there in the world? Are you serious? We're dealing with that. What is the national debt? What are our kids going to do? What kind of cancer is sweeping the nation right now? Oh my goodness, childhood obesity. What? Our kids are facing problems we just couldn't even think about. Your kids are in danger. Your children are in danger. You ought to wake up. You don't have kids yet, but you need to wake up. You need to listen. You need to start changing your future right now. Let me tell you, they're going to have struggles between right and wrong that make our heads spin. Just in the last few weeks, the Supreme Court made a huge ruling that just made the whole world just like twist its head, go, wait, you just changed what's right and wrong for the past forever in a moment. Your struggles between right and wrong, this future generation, it's going to be hectic. You haven't seen anything yet. There will be a situation where everyone around them tells them it's okay. Will they have to choose? Will they have the courage to choose the right when it is easier to choose what's wrong? Oh, man, that'll send you to praying right there. Let me tell you, your kids are going to have trouble with faith. Your kids are going to have trouble with faith in different areas that you never even thought of. It was not an issue for you. It wasn't even a question for you. But in these particular areas, they are going to have issues and troubles with their faith. In an ever-increasing secular society, they will face larger battles over keeping faith than anything you ever faced. It's going to happen. And they will have to overcome the failures of the previous generations. Oh yeah, if it's not enough that the whole world's going to try to kill them, your mistakes are going to try to kill them. Your problems in your own marriage are going to try to mess them up. Your own character flaws where you flew off the handle and little Timmy saw that and learned it, he's going to have to overcome your problems too. They will have to overcome your shortcomings, mom and dad, aunt and uncle. They will face inner character struggles. Your future children are in danger. I want to talk to you about what your future kids need. And I want to use the interesting story of Samson to illustrate it. Maybe you went to Sunday school and you know the story of Samson. Real quick, raise your hand high. You know the story of Samson? Know the story of Samson? Well, Samson, he's found in the book of Judges, and he was a real big, strong guy. And we're going to be learning about him. The story of Samson starts in Judges chapter 13, and it starts with his parents. That's where the story starts. Let me tell you, that's where your story starts too. It starts with your parents. Much of a child's future is decided before they're ever born by their parents. Parents, right now in the present, the way you spend your time, the way you focus your life, the decisions that you make, they're deciding your future. I'm so glad you're in the house of God today. It's not just a habit for you. It's not just a habitual thing. No, it's you safeguarding your future. It's you saying, I'm going to make a good decision for once. And you came to the house of God today. You worship today. That wasn't just, I kind of dig this song. I think I'll clap my hands. No, you're making a decision that will affect the future. Right now, this guy is preaching to you. I want you to pay good, close attention, not because maybe the sermon's good or he does a good job. No, but because it will affect your future. You got it? Does that make sense? Yes. Samson's mom was barren. She was unable to have children. The idea of future children seemed like a cruel joke to her. But an angel showed up out of nowhere right there in Judges chapter 13. An angel showed up in her present situation with news and instructions for the future. So an angel shows up with the present with news and instruction for the future. See, that's how God does. Shows up in your present with instruction and news for the future. She thought it was actually a man, this angel. She said it looks like an angel, but she calls him a man. We'll see here. She was all confused about what exactly was happening. We'll give her a break. I think I would be confused too if an angel showed up to me, right? I get confused over lesser things than that all the time. Judges chapter 13 and 6. Then the woman went to her husband and told him, a man of God came to me. He looked like an angel of God. Very awesome. I didn't ask him where he came from, and he didn't tell me his name. She then tells her husband the news and instruction. So God shows up in her present, gives her hope of a future, instruction for a future. She says, I have to bring my husband in on this. You wait a second. You got to bring your spouse in on this. You can't do this by yourself. You need a team around you raising children. Your Bible made it one man and one woman having children, and that they were together as a team. So she brings in her husband on this, all right? When God talks to you, you better tell your spouse about it. You better share it with them. What if they don't believe me? That's not what's important. No, you need to tell them, did God talk to you or not? And then trust them to do the right thing, all right? Watch what the husband does not do. Here's what the husband does not do. He does not say, yes, dear, as he continues reading the newspaper. You know how that goes? Like somebody walks in and says something really important. An angel of the Lord, I think it was an angel, he came and talked to me about my son. But, you know, I can't have a son because I'm barren. And it was really cool and amazing and awesome. Yes, dear, that's real cool. And he wasn't listening at all. He does not do that. So right there, you already know miracles are happening. Right. All right. He does not say, well, that's great. You know what? Let's just hope for that. That's good. He didn't disagree with her. And he didn't blindly follow. Here is what that father did. Judges chapter 13, verse 8. Then Manoah prayed. We're going to talk about future children. You don't have a sermon about future children without the word prayer. You want to safeguard your future? You don't do it without the word prayer. You want to talk about delivering your children out of future danger and worry and heartache? You don't do it without the word prayer. Manoah prayed to the Lord. Oh Lord, I beg you, let the man of God you sent to us come again to teach us how to bring up the boy who is to be born. Is this huge? Does this sound big? He prayed. You see, the mom heard the instruction, but the father said, you know what? I want that instruction too. We have way too many families where we have the mom only living for God, or we have the dad only living for God. And it's only the instruction of the Lord's only coming from one. I tell you how powerful it is when both parents in a home say, we need the instruction of God. It's not enough for my spouse to hear from God. God, I want to hear from you. Send the man of God again. Let him instruct me. And guess what? God does it. God sends the angel again. He sends the angel again. God will do that. That's the kind of God you serve. The angel shows up again to the father of Samson. Right there in the present, the mom received a word for the future. Right there in the present, the father bowed his face in prayer concerning the future. Children. Do you realize that before you were ever born, your parents stood in the present and prayed over your future? Children, as you walk into this awful, awful problem, do you realize a grandmother somewhere woke up in the middle of the night with a burden? Can I tell you something? A lot of people don't know about this. They don't understand this. But there is something powerful in prayer where God wakes you up sometimes. Sometimes you wake up in the middle of the night and you don't know why you wake up. It's like, why did I wake up? Why can't I go back to sleep? I'm going to give you some instruction. You listen to me. Start praying. Start praying. You keep tossing over and you can't fall back to sleep. I think that's God saying, hey, why don't you pray a little bit? Why don't we have a talk? All right, that's free, not in my wrote notes. Someone needed that right there. So do you realize before you ever face this problem, the problems I'm going through, I had a grandmother pray over me. All right. I had a great grandfather pray over me. I have a lineage. See, I'm not the first person to know Jesus in my family. I am so blessed. Some of you don't have that blessing. I am blessed. If you have someone in front of you that knew Jesus and knew prayer and knew love and knew forgiveness and knew the cross of Christ, let me tell you, you are blessed. Amen. And you ought to take with great responsibility the challenge of continuing that line. We need families where mothers and fathers have a relationship with God. Amen. You want to turn America around? It starts at the dining room table with parents that know Jesus and they know love and they know the real definition of love. They know that patience, they know that kindness, they know that temperance, they know that all the things that is the love of God, and that's flowing in their life because they know God. That'll change the world. You need a relationship where a family where they're committed to the same future, where they aren't going different directions. And all of this starts not in the future. It starts in the present. So I want to tell you to follow the instructions. God has more than suggestions for your future. God doesn't just come along and say, you know what? It'd be really nice if. The 10 suggestions, the Old Testament wrote them on cardboard tablets. No, it's the commandments. He has instructions. He has commands. He has rules for you. And they're good for you. It is not enough to have had a face-to-face with an angel. Some of you think nothing could be better than that. Well, I'm going to tell you, it's not enough to have that. You need to obey the word of the Lord. Yeah. And it's not enough to have a good time in worship and feel his presence. Man, some of y'all would come unglued if you just felt that presence of God. And it's like, whoa, you knew it. What if you heard the audible voice of God? Man, wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be just the end of all things right there? Wouldn't that be so? No, not enough. You need to obey the word of the Lord. It's not enough to be told of a great future. If someone came up to you and they had the gift of prophecy and they said, and they just went into a prophetic utterance and they started telling you things about your life that were going to happen and how powerful that's going to be, that would be really great. You should celebrate that. You should believe it. But I'm telling you, not enough. It's not enough. You need to obey the word of the Lord. Does anybody know what I'm talking about in the house? You see, you got to follow the instructions. God has instructions for your life and for the life of your children. Do you know what that instruction is? If yes, then I would say good. Get to it. If you know what that instruction is, okay, good. Are you doing it? Are you living it out? Are you prayerful? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Are you responding the way you're supposed to? And then if you don't, if you're in this place and, no, I really don't know. I don't really understand my faith. I really don't understand the Bible. I really don't understand any instruction. Then I want to tell you in advance, come to the altar today and ask us. You come right in the first 2 feet and you ask us, what am I supposed to do? Or maybe you ask God, what would you have me do, God? Because he's got instructions for you. The Father asked again, and he got the angel again. So you ask today. God will give you the instruction today. And then the last thing here is pass on that instruction. You got that instruction, you pass it on. All right. I'm telling you, this is one key place where you don't have to have biological kids to pass on that instruction. We have Sunday school teachers here. They are passing on that instruction to kids that are not their biological kids. You're sharing at a connect group and you're sharing things with people that are coming after you and you have no clue how deep and how powerful it is. Pass on the instructions. And then I would tell you, do not lose your voice. Your future needs a present. You need to follow instructions, but do not lose your voice. You see, they heard the instruction of God. They had followed that instruction, and they taught that instruction to their son. Not only did the parents who saw the angel know the instruction, but Samson knew the instruction. That's some good parenting right there. But something happened in Judges chapter 14. Problems happened. Samson went down to Timnah and saw there a young Philistine woman. When he returned, he said to his father and mother, I have seen a Philistine woman in Timnah. Now get her for me as my wife. His father and mother replied, isn't there an acceptable woman among your relatives and among all your people? Must you go to the uncircumcised Philistines to get a wife? But Samson said to his father, get her for me. She's the right one for me. Wow. So there is a disagreement over a romantic interest. That's a big shock, isn't it? Who could ever see that one coming? What? Parents and children fighting over a romantic interest, maybe a boyfriend or a girlfriend? That never happens, right? It absolutely does. Parents, can I talk to my parents real quick? You are called to imprint. You're called to influence. You're called to direct. But that does not mean control. Parents, you're not called to control your children. Psalm 127 says, like arrows in the hands of a warrior. It doesn't take much of an imagination to imagine how arrows are used, right? You have a bow, you put the arrow against the string, and you pull it back. You aim that arrow, the direction it's going to go. So you're giving that arrow direction. But then there comes a time where you have to let the arrow go. The Bible says that your children are like an arrow. You direct them, then you have to let them go.
All right.
That's the picture of parenting right there. You aim them, but then there comes a time you have to let them go, and they have to go hit that target. You can't control them all the way to the target. It won't ever happen. Now, we can't be sure what kind of conflict was happening here in Judges chapter 14. We really are not sure of it. So I'm going to kind of treat this from both sides of an argument. Perhaps they had a big argument here over choosing a girl from the Philistine camp. And can you imagine a parent argument, parents arguing with their son over something like this? That person's no good for you. You're choosing, you're making a wrong choice. You're messing up your life. And maybe voices get raised. Maybe someone slams the door. Maybe someone yells. Maybe someone leaves the home. That kind of argument. Can you picture it? Of course you can. You probably had it at one point in your life. Or maybe it's something else. Maybe it was small conversations in passing. Maybe it was some passive aggressive behavior. Maybe it was something that was not so much on the surface level as you're ruining your life, or like, well, if that's what you want, son, you know, a little passive aggressive kind of a thing. And it could also be that they tried to influence, but it could also be that they tried to control. Could be that they tried to come alongside him and say some words of advice. Son, when I was looking for a wife, here's what I did, you know, trying to influence versus no boy in my house, as long as you are living under my roof, we're not dating a Philistine chick. Control, right? See the difference. We all know very well the difference. We can't be sure how this went down, all right? I'm going to be very clear on that. Can't be sure. But we are sure of this one thing. Samson's parents are never given a voice again in the story of Samson. The last thing we hear them say is, isn't there an acceptable woman among our own relatives, among our own people? Must you go to the uncircumcised Philistines to get a wife? These are the last words they say. So whatever happens here, whether they do the right thing, the wrong thing, whoever makes what mistake, wherever, this one thing is very certain. His parents no longer had a voice in the rest of the story. They are mentioned somewhere briefly in the story. They appear again in the story, but their voice is gone. Can I tell you real quick, parents, people that want a lineage, people that want to influence the future, do not lose your voice. Do not lose your voice. Now, this talk goes both ways. Okay, I'm going to talk to parents and kids. I'm going to talk to those that are standing in the present, and those that are standing in the future. First, I'm going to talk to the parents. Parents, could it be that Samson's parents were so disappointed by his choice that they withdrew their voice? Well, if you aren't going to listen to us, harumph, cross the arms, look disapproving. You can go to that place where you know you're disapproved of, so we're not even going to talk about it anymore because I know what you're going to say, and so you could turn off someone's voice that way. Could it be that because he didn't listen to them, they no longer gave voice? Maybe they were offended by Samson's response to their advice, so they never tried again. Is it possible that they never got over the decision that Samson made over this woman and they let it come between them? Instead of being able to talk to him and influence him, all they could see was this choice. All they could see is what he had done. All they could see, man, don't let that ruin your voice. Don't let that steal your voice, lose your voice. And maybe they even crossed over the threshold of influence. And they walked into control and ended up losing their voice that way. One of the most valuable things you're given is a voice to speak into your child's life. Do not lose that voice. There are things you can say that'll cost you your voice. There are hypocritical behaviors that will cost you the effectiveness of your voice. Your attitude can cost you your voice. When your kids see you say one thing but do another thing, your voice just lost value. Do not lose your voice. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, it tells us this: fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and what? Oh, there's that word again. Instruction of the Lord. I want to tell you that the original Hebrew says to not come alongside. It says exasperate. In the Hebrew, it kind of means this: do not come alongside and rouse up with anger. I like to picture my two sons when they sat next to each other in a very small car. One would reach over and start going, "Yeah," and the other one would scream and cry. We would say, "Will, stop exasperating your brother, Hudson." All right. As parents, you can come alongside and use your voice in exasperating, pick at people ways where you come alongside and go, "Well, maybe I told you so, and maybe you shouldn't have done this. And you know what? You know what Aunt Margaret always said?" All these annoying, exasperating things cause you to lose your voice. God gave you a voice. Don't lose that voice. Colossians chapter 3, verse 21. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Fathers and mothers, you too, there are things that you can do that make your children bitter. Bitter is no small word. You know what bitterness feels like. You felt bitterness towards someone. That thing they did, and every time you see them, you never look at their face. You don't, they're smiling. It doesn't matter what they're wearing. It doesn't matter what they're saying. You are picturing what they did way back then because you're bitter. Do not get into a place where your future, your reward, your heritage, your lineage is bitter with you. Where they say, "No, thank you," anymore. "No, I don't want to be around that. No, I can't even look at you anymore." You can come to that place. Do not come to that place. If you are at that place with your kids right now or anyone in your life right now, you need to repent. You need to get over that. You need to have God clean that up. You need to do it today. That's the instruction of the Lord. Can I tell you, parents, your voice matters. So protect your voice. You don't just say anything. You don't just read any book and start quoting it. There's a book out every day about parenting, and a lot of them are terrible. Some of them are good. I'm not saying they're all bad. But you don't just quote everything. You don't just do everything. And people don't even read books anymore. They really like go to Pinterest and find one little quote and then direct their whole life over one little stupid quote with a cool picture. Don't do that. Please don't do it. Now, kids, the future, I'm talking to you. You are the future. You're the reward. Oh my gosh. Do our kids feel that way? You're the reward. You're the heritage. You're the gift from God. When we ask God to direct our life and bless our life, you are a part of it. Kids, I'm talking to you. I want to talk to you. Is it possible that Samson shut his parents out of his life over this disagreement? Is it possible that he just never let them have another word into his life? Could he in his pride say, "You know what? Your opinions are old and stupid and unimportant. I don't need your advice." Could he have forgotten that his parents prayed for him so long before he was born? See, we forget about that, don't we? We forget about that when we're in the middle of disagreement with family. We forget that they prayed for us and they cared for us and they carried burdens for us. Did the son forget that his parents had heard from God, that they received instruction from God, and that it was for his benefit? Kids, don't forget that. Do not forget that about your parents. You need the voice of a previous generation. You listen. You aren't smart enough to do this on your own. You really aren't. you're gonna fall into big problems. You need the voice of a previous generation. You need it. You need their wisdom. You need their heart. You need to know about their mistakes. You need to know about what they would do in your situation. Because guess what? Usually they have been exactly in your situation. All of this stuff, don't turn their voice off, because their voice will affect your future. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Children, obey your parents. Verse 2, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Real quick, we'll get to that promise in 1 second. Go back to verse 2. You honor them. There are some things you better never say to your parents. You shouldn't do it. That's going to affect your future. Number one, because there's a promise to this commandment, but also that is cutting you off from that line of life called a lineage that God has designed to flow into your life. Do not cut yourself off from that. What is this promise? It says in verse 3, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Does that sound like a promise that you want? Would you like things to go well with you? No, not at all. I really am wanting things to be terrible and awful all the time. No, you want things to go well with you. You're complaining right now that they aren't. But maybe, did you ever think the way you're treating your parents right now could be causing your problems? Because this is the first commandment with the promise that when you honor your father and mother, things go well with you and you live a long life on the earth. I want that promise. I remember reading that as a kid and saying, all right, sign me up. Sign yourself up today. Sign yourself up. Let me tell you, are we talking about your parents are always right and we treat them good when they're right? No. Are we saying we honor them when they agree with us? No. All the time. When they disagree with you, you honor them. When they are wrong and you are certain of it, you honor them. Things will go well with you and you'll live a long life. You receive that. You receive that. I know you don't want to amen that. I know you don't want to like run around the room on that, but that'll affect your future. That'll make your future bright and beautiful. You listen to me. Now, the story of Samson, is it a happy story? No, it's not a happy story. There's a lot of sadness in that story. There's a lot of cool things. Samson was this cool guy. Unbelievable feats of strength. But he ends up choosing enemies over family. He ends up trusting people that are already stabbing him in the back over the people that want him to be safe. And usually that's what happens between children and parents when it doesn't go well. That's exactly. Man, I've seen kids run right into the arms of drug dealers instead of a mom that bows her knee and prays for her children every day. What are you doing? You want to know what foolishness is? That's foolish right there. People, young kids giving their lives and their money and everything to people that aren't going to talk to them in 2 months. But they're talking to me right now. Forget you, mom and dad. Oh, man, I've seen it time and time again. Do not give your lives to enemies. It ought to be like a no-brainer, but it's not. We got Satan and we got a whole bunch of enemies in our life. Do not give your life to that, okay? That'll kill your future. And Samson, this strong man who felt the presence of God, who had the instruction of God and the promise of God, he the fact that he was born of a barren mother, he was a miracle. But his picture ends up looking a lot differently than his parents had ever planned it to look like. Much like that newspaper article in that Back to the Future clip we saw, who would have guessed they'd seen that son being taken to jail on that day? See, Samson ends up a laughingstock. He ends up in chains. He ends up his eyes being gouged out, completely blind. And he is now a captive to his Philistines. Oh, wait, that's who he wanted to marry. Absolutely. That's who he wanted to hang out with. And now they're laughing at him. Now they're whipping him. Now he's a joke and a punchline and a wasted, used up life. His story did not end up like his mom and dad hoped it would. When his dad knelt and prayed, he was not praying for this outcome. When his mom listened to the instruction of the Lord, this was not the outcome she signed up for. It's sad. It's a sad story. Something happened that changed the course of Samson's future. The picture of this mighty judge of Israel had faded and changed to a picture of a slave now tied between two pillars. Samson had some problems, and that's just not even saying it enough. But can I tell you something? As I'm closing today, I want to tell you something. Samson still had a future. Samson had some problems. He was a laughingstock. There looked like he had no future. But we serve a God who says there is a future. Samson still had a future. He was still God promised. He was still God's miracle born to a barren woman. He still knew the instruction of the Lord. He was still every bit his parents' reward and heritage. I tell you what, when your kids fall into the muck, they fall into the mire, do they still know that they're the reward of God? Do they still know that they are your heritage and they matter to you? Do they know that? They need to know that. They got to know that. If they don't know that, wake up and change it. I believe that even in this moment, Samson was still loved by his parents. They didn't understand everything, no. But they knew this kid, he wasn't just given to us. He was came from straight from heaven for us, a miracle. Amen. Samson had an awful lot of things in his past, but he'd also received that instruction of God, and he still remembered it. You see, Samson still had a future. I need to talk to some parents that are worried about their kids. Maybe you're in a place where you're shocked by what they did. Maybe you're the kid and you're shocked by where you are right now and what you've done. Maybe you're worried about your current situation. Maybe you're worried about your kid's current situation. Maybe you've lost contact. Maybe you don't think you can pick up the phone and call anymore. Maybe you're trying to be a parent, but you have no idea what you're doing. You're trying to be a parent, but you aren't sure you're doing it right. You aren't sure. There's some days you wake up and go, I think I might be hurting my kids more than I'm helping my kids. Welcome to parenting. That's the address of parenting right there. You aren't always sure. Listen up. Wherever you are in that paragraph, I've got to tell you, you still have a future. They still have a future because we serve a God who gives us a lineage. He promises a line of life that will flow out of us. Don't let anything in the past keep you from embracing that future with them. Do you think any way in the world that mother wouldn't have come up and hugged that Samson? That father wouldn't have come up to that Samson and embraced him? No way in the world. So you better not do that either. I'm telling you that Samson still had a future. Judges 16 and 28 is when he walks into it. Then Samson prayed. Man, it's been a while in Samson's story since we've seen prayer show up. You want future? Prayer needs to show up. Pray to the Lord. Oh, sovereign Lord, remember me. Not how I am now. Remember me. Oh, God, please. Strengthen me just once more. And Samson prayed, and that strength came upon him, and he ended up having victory over his captors, over his enemies. Can I tell you today that you still have a future? You still have an opportunity to, I don't care what the world looks like to you right now, you have a brighter future ahead of you. In front of you. You have a place called heaven that's an opportunity for you. You have a place called repentance that's an opportunity for you. You have a place called being filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where you are filled with the power of God. You want to talk about a future? That's a future right there. You could have all the resentment, all the bitterness clean washed out of your head and your heart and your mind and your mouth and all of that stuff. That's a future. You have a future today. Do you want to walk into it? Parents, do you want to walk into a future with your kids? You that don't have kids today, do you want to make a decision right now? God, I want you to fix some broken things inside of me so that I will not have a messed up future. I want to fix these things now, because if I keep walking the way I'm walking, if I keep thinking the way I'm thinking, if I keep having these same character flaws and bad habits, I'm going to be walking into a terrible future. God, right now, you've got a future. You can change everything. Do you want to walk into that future today? Samson's father walked into that future when he... Samson walked into that future when he... You are going to walk into that future when you... Pray, pray, pray. We do three things every time we come to Redemption Church. Okay? We've worshiped God together, and that felt so good. We had a sermon together. We received the word of God together. That's number two. And it's kind of heavy. It's kind of really thinking about some stuff. Some of y'all are like, man, I was just expecting some stuff. And now you're talking about this whole stuff, this world I didn't even know was coming. I'm like 14 years old and I don't know about all this stuff. I get it. It's heavy. But I want to tell you, don't miss out on this third thing. It's called prayer. It's called talking to God. I'm about to open up this altar. And I know there were some heavy things in this said today. But you need to respond to it. Your future's in danger. You got to do something about it today. You got to do about it now. If you want special prayer, you come in the first 2 feet. We'll pray with you. We believe God has got great things for you. But do something today that walks into that future. Will you do it? These altars are open right now. I'm going to start praying. You come. You come. I want somebody to pray with too. Y'all come right on up. God, Lord, we thank you. Lord, I thank you for your goodness. Lord, I thank you that we still have a future. God, I thank you that the devil is a liar. I thank you that our past does not define us, but the love of Jesus Christ defines us, and the power of God is available to us to take away all of our bitterness, to take away all of our sins, and give us hope, God. Lord, in Jesus' name, I pray, Lord, that someone would get a hold of you today and start praying over their family, God. They would start praying over their parents. They'd start praying over their kids and their wives, God. Lord, that they'd start praying over some kids in their neighborhood. That they'd start praying over some kids in their life, Jesus. Lord, that they would get a line flowing out of them.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.